What have you seen from Mark Ingram?
Yeah.
Really seems to be running the ball more patiently, and then also getting involved in the screen game or the passing game. And
I think one overwhelming factor is just I think Mark is more confident. I think Mark's gotten some success at the end of last year, started running the ball really well. He's a guy, I mean, you see him, success or not, no success, he's emotional on the field. And that emotion can roll both ways. It can become a negative force, it can become a positive force. And, you know, Mark gets down on himself, and at the end of the day, we weren't giving him opportunities to get into the second level where he could do some damage, and that's on us. And yet Mark puts that on his own back, and which I think you've seen with some confidence built from playing well, you know, from breaking some runs, and I think getting a better feel for what we're doing and where he wants to be. And you know, he's not thinking, he's reacting, which obviously at that position is really important. And look, when he gets going and when that emotion is positive going the other direction, he's a tough back, and I think, you know, it's really a testament to him. He's worked his butt off, and he deserves to be playing well.
Is he the type of back that needs to get, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 carries in a row and kind of build up ahead of steam?
I think that he's – look, we're not big on that in general, you know what I mean? And part of that is there's very few backs in this league that can do it for 16 games, and we're trying to keep him and Kyrie and Pierre rolling through the season. I don't think it's necessarily that the reps have to compound on top of each other, but I do think he's a guy that you got to get some success, and that's on us. I mean, ultimately, if we can get Mark through to the second level, I mean, Mark's shown already. He's shown in the late in the season last year. He's shown in the preseason this year. When we can get him through the front seven, you know, he's going to make some plays, and that's on us. And but more than anything, I think Mark knows that that's coming. I think there's more patience, not so much in his running style as there is patience knowing it might be 5 2-yard runs before there's a 25, and that 25 is what kind of gasses him up.
You Lions asked Curtis this. I mean, in 06 you were probably in this situation. This is an important game for a lot of the guys down the roster. Do you see that? Do they act differently? Do you talk to them? Because, you know, their futures potentially are on the line.
Well, I think, look, these last two games, really, I mean, I hear a lot of fans talk about the not liking the fourth game. You want to talk about people that are playing for their livelihoods. There's a lot of roster spots still not set then. Special teams, you know, those real bubble guys. This game, you know, look, now we look at it as kind of a dress rehearsal for the starters, for the guys that are going to play. And yet, as you go on, they have to see more and more from young players. They have to see the development. So I think as a young guy, there's more stress every game. I mean, there's that last impression is hard. You know what I mean? Like, you have two really good games and then kind of fizzle out, and all of a sudden the last thing you remember is that fizzle. So, there's a lot of stress in it. And to be perfectly honest with you, you know, I've felt that a lot more than I felt like I was getting ready for a season. I mean, I really... I know that feeling very well. The preseason can be stressful for guys because it's a live dress rehearsal for your job. So, guys will, you know, they'll get stressed, but that's part of it. You get stressed every week, really.
With Ben and Jari coming back, mm-hmm. How quickly does that, hey, we're all back to where we used to be, feeling happen?
Yeah, I mean, the big thing with them, you know, it's feeling good again. I think Ja looked great yesterday. I mean, really moved well. You know, asked him how he felt. He said he felt good. It's not hard for those guys to bounce back in. I mean, I don't know how many reps Jairi has here, but it's several thousand, tens of thousands probably. And certainly communication-wise, when Ja's there, that's kind of like my home. That's what I'm comfortable with. I mean, so that's easy, you know, for us to kind of get back in it, and the communication. To be honest with you, when Jairi wasn't there, I was saying the same things to Marcel, and sometimes Marcel's like, what are you talking about? Because I'm so used to that, you know. But I think Ja, Ben, those guys will be fine, good football players. And really, I think you saw yesterday in practice, those guys stepped back in and made a bunch of good blocks and looked like they were moving well.
How do you observe the thing going on at center right now with Goody and Tim? And as it's gone further in camp, is there a uniqueness to each of those guys? Is it just seems so tight to figure out who's... who's the best guy for that job, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, look, they're obviously different guys. I mean, they're on opposite ends of their careers. You know, Goody's a veteran guy, and there's a lot of advantages come from having that savviness and knowing what you're seeing. And Tim is honestly probably one of our more physical, more athletic linemen, and you see that on tape. I think both of them, look, we can't be wrong, to be perfectly honest with you. I got no problem with either of them. I don't think any guy on the line does. I assume that they'll both be here. Two good players, and that's a good situation to be in. You know, it's, you can't have enough. I mean, we've been very lucky here in some years where we didn't need, you know, where it was one or two starts missed on the whole offensive line. That's not normal. I think you look around the league right now and you see the amount of injuries that have kind of piled up already. Either one of those guys is a good choice, and I'm glad that I'm not making that decision.
Are you, and I don't mean this to be negative, but are you a little bit disappointed in the fact that you all went to the Greenbrier, got out of the heat, said it would give you a chance to be more mentally crisp as a veteran team and focus on doing what you do well, but yet you have 32 penalties, mm-hmm. which doesn't show, I guess, a whole lot of focus and discipline. Is that a little bit disappointing in the fact that you got out of the heat and maybe that was the focus and it hasn't translated?
Well, I think there's a difference in what we're talking about and focusing on a play-to-play basis on your techniques and those things, and then getting in a game and letting your mind run a little bit wild. I think the big thing is we got to police that better every day in practice. You know, I know as an offense we've come up, there's a penalty system within our group. There's a punishment. It's going to affect the whole group. We did 50 extra pass sets today. That's basically a game's worth of pass pro. You know, it's a lot because we had guys jump off sides. It's just not okay. I mean, it's disappointing whether we're at the Greenbrier or we're in Death Valley. I don't care. No matter where you are in training camp, when the game starts, when lights are on, when the TVs are rolling, we gotta be smarter than that. We gotta play smarter. And the good thing is, I think that this team has taken a approach that it's on us. It's on the players. We're very fortunate. Coach Payton, as angry as he was and as worked up as he was, the message when we got back was not yell and scream. And because at the end of the day, anyone that's ever had a parent yell at them four straight times for something, by the third time you're done. You know what I mean? You don't want to hear it. And we came back and it was teaching. He put numbers up on the board and showed us what does that really do. You know, you can complain all day about penalties and lack of focus. What did it really do? And you're probably looking at 14 to 17 points given away in penalty yardage. I mean, really, that's bad. And in a normal game in this league, that gets you beat. I mean, we're 5-0 in turnovers, otherwise we lose that game. So, you know, I think he came in, he taught us what it was we really did. And that's, look, we'll lose that game next time. So we've jumped on it, and it's on us. And it's disappointing, like I said, no matter where we're camping at, no matter when the game starts, you got to be zoned in better than that.
I know you don't necessarily work with the wide receivers that closely all the time, but at the same time, kind of being an offensive captain, what can you say about how diligent Kenny still was in kind of staying up to speed so that he wasn't too far behind when he got back?
He's a guy that's, like, depressed not practicing. You know, you can see it affect him. He doesn't like not being there. He wants to get the reps, and that's how he was last year. I mean, that's why he was able to be successful as a young guy. But look, he steps in. Kenny's always been a smart player. He's always never had alignment issues, never had route running issues. So he's kept his head in, and that's really, look, that's his job. You know, I mean, it's his job if you're not practicing to still be mentally into it. And the big thing, I'm sure, with Kenny right now is getting back in shape. You know, being able to run and test that muscle and make sure that it's good and ready to go. And I don't think there's any doubt in the locker room that Kenny will do all that stuff.
Just a point of information, you said Death Valley, you meant the California desert.
Yeah, I'm talking the hottest place in the world. Not so much LSU, yeah. That's hot too, though. So.